without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Wee Ming, who's our area coordinator for Gideon's. But before I do, I just want to say Solomon Puffa, who's the WA director of Gideon's. I met him a few years ago, and it was in a really weird place. It was Red Frogs. He was serving at Red Frogs, and he goes to Metro Church, and I met him there, and his son has actually been in our house many times playing games with some of the Red Frog crew, and he is an absolute delight as well, your son is. So we've actually got, when I heard Wee Ming said, oh, the state director, Solomon Partha, wanted to speak. I said, is that Solomon Partha that I know? He wouldn't know, but so I'm absolutely delighted to have these two men speak today. But first, I just want to introduce Wee Ming.
Good morning, church. First and foremost, I want to thank Pastor Kerry and the Hillside Church family for allowing Gideon's to come. This is what it's all about, isn't it? Without the Holy Spirit here, nothing that the worship team do will have any significance at all. God is here, praise the Lord. Yeah. I won't take too much of a time because Brother Solomon will share the main message. I'm here to introduce Gideon's to you. What my time will consist of, I will have one short video in the beginning to talk about Gideon's. Then I will have a PowerPoint presentations and a testimony in the end. Yeah. So can we play the first video?
Every Sunday, churches open their doors to communities around the world for people to fellowship, to worship, to grow, and to renew their spirits with the hope found only in the Word of God. But for many, Sunday is a day like any other. That's where the Gideons come in. As a missionary extension of the church, Gideons meet people where they are by placing Bibles in the traffic lanes of life and by personally sharing the message of true hope with the weary traveler, the sick and discouraged, with all generations, in small towns and in major cities, across time zones and countrysides, and to the ends of the earth. So men, women, boys and girls can learn who they are in Christ and experience life as children of God. Gideons have never done this work alone. It's churches, just like yours, who make their work powerful and effective in different cultures and languages throughout some 200 countries, territories, and possessions across the globe. Gideons are members of churches first. Dependent on God's people for support through prayer, giving, and a growing membership. Because in the end, we're all carrying out one vision, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel to bring people to Christ.
Hey, that is a very short introduction of what Gideon is doing. For me, I'll bring it into our local context. I'm actually the Armadale camp president, so I look after Armadale region, and Gideon works in such a way that we have got, in different regions, we have got different camps with a primary role of distributing scriptures, because Gideon basically is a ministry that comprises of businessmen and professionals with their wives that believes God's word still transforms lives. Can I say amen? Yep. Now, so as a result, what I'm going to share, the short 5 minutes of this PowerPoint presentation, is about the work that God is doing in the region of Armadale, which we are hoping to this work can do in other areas as well, such as, say, for example, Brother Solomon is a state president, but he is also looking after the South Perth camp. So there's a camp in South Perth. They're doing exactly the same thing. Yeah. Next slide, please. Yeah. So the Gideon activities is basically, as you can see, I just put on some of the simple pictures up there. Gideon's works in areas such as the police station, our service center, or the fire brigade stations. We go in and gave Bibles to all these servicemen. And not just that, we actually pray for them and say, we value their work. We value the way they look after our community. We value the way they keep our community safe. And we pray for them that every morning when they go out to work, they can safely go back home. Yeah. And we go into hospital, obviously, in Armadale hospitals, where we place a lot of Bibles. Obviously, today, we can't put Bibles into the individual room simply because of hygienic purposes. But as a result, we still put a lot of Bibles in the waiting rooms. That's where the family members come in and have an opportunity to take a copy of the Bibles and to be blessed. Obviously, we go into schools. Schools is a big part of Gideon's work, which I'm going to explain a little bit later. And the last one is the aged care centers. Now, previous slides. Yeah, previous slides. These are the schools in the Armadale area that I'm working with every year. Every year I go into these schools. One of it, obviously, you can see is Hillside School. Every year we go into the schools to give Bibles to the Year 7 students and making sure, as you know, today there is such a challenge among our young people. The things that they have been exposed of and what our intention is to tell them, hey, boys and girls, do you know that irrespective of what high-tech iPad you have, what technology you have, God's Word will still guide your life. God's Word will ultimately determine the destiny where you are heading to. So we need to continue to bring these informations to our next generations, because, like it or not, we are building generations, aren't we? Next slide, please. So you can see some of the things is I can remember one of the schools I went in. Right now, instead of the chaplain, by God's grace as well, chaplain are working with Gideons. In a way that last time, Gideons used to have only 5 or 10 minutes in their chapel hours. But today, chaplain says, you take over the whole chapel hours. You explain. The reason is, we say, besides the 10 minutes that we explain who Gideons are, we need to take at least the same amount of time telling them that precious little book that we're going to distribute to them. Why is it so important? I remember one time when I went to one of the high school, some of the students went on excursions, so they couldn't get the Bible. So when they came back, they went to the chaplain and says, Mr. Chaplain, can I have a copy of that little red book? So I said, yeah, make sure that's the little red book, not the Mao Zedong little red book. Yeah, so there's a big difference. The next one, aged care work. We work in a lot of aged care work, knowing that besides raising the next generations, we got to care for our elderly generations, because the elderly generation built the foundation on which we are building. Yeah. Without them, our work will be in vain. God's word always is true, becomes true when He says, honor your father and your mother, for then you will have long life. That principle applies. No matter how much we have got our technology improved, that will not take away that principle from God's word. Yeah? Agree? Yeah, so these are the aged care center that in my area that I'm working in. Mind you, a lot of this work, Gideon do not do it themselves. We do it together with churches. We do it with the local churches, which means we bring the church members into these ministries as well, in honoring our elderly people, in making sure that they know wherever they are, even in the centers, God still works. God is still there. Obviously, one of the places which I did not put up there is the Warwick retirement village, which we come, used to be once a few times in a year, but now hopefully we can come during the Christmas time. Next slide, please. Now, look at these pictures. If you want to be encouraged, what more encouragement can you get when you are worshiping in the aged care center and see our elderly people raising up their hands? I tell you, that if you feel your Christian life is, I used to feel my Christian life was a bit of a dull, but when I see those people raising up their hands, I say, Lord, it's worth it. It's worth it. Yeah. Right. So, beside the school and the aged care, obviously, we go into accommodation placement as well, making sure our role is to make sure our community is filled with the Word of God, so that our believers, brothers and sisters, will have a platform to talk to them. They will ask, why is that book there? Why is that book there? Then we can tell them, that book is there because the author of that book is the author of our salvations. Yeah, so we go into accommodation placements such as the different hotels. And this slide here shows not just... Like I've shown you before, we go into police station, fire brigade station, and this one here, we engage the community. We go into, we partner with Armadale for Jesus and Queen Anna for Jesus, where we go and set up our stores and start giving Bibles to all the people that participate. Yeah, next one. So how can you help? The first is, please pray for us. As you know, especially for schools, it's getting harder and harder to go into schools. But if people pray, the foundation of hell quiver if the saints were willing to pray. And I do believe that the prayer will overcome any resistance. We have seen it again and again and again. Contribute. Gideon's is a ministry whereby we are supported by our own, we supported our own selves, which means professional. We pay for our own work. We are not paid. Brother Solomon and I, we are not paid, but we support our own work. All the money that goes into printing Bibles. And the last is, become a Gideon members. Become a friends of Gideon's to support Gideon's continuously in his work. Yeah. Okay, I'm going to show you right now a little testimony of how a lady has been impacted by the Word of God.
Yeah. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Katrina, and firstly I'd like to take the chance to just thank Helen Rowe, who invited me to speak and share my testimony tonight. Okay, for all of you to understand the magnitude and impact of purposely placed Bible can do, I need to explain where I came from, where I was at, and where I was going in my life during that time. I've heard tonight how many times you have placed Bibles in prisons. And I want to say that it does make a difference. 3.5 years ago, I was imprisoned for 13 weeks. I'd been through extreme domestic violence and had turned to drugs. I was hospitalised many times, and I was caught driving in escaping from my perpetrator. And I was on drugs. I found myself in Adelaide prison for 3 months. The first night in prison, I was bashed and had my arm broken. I then got placed in high security. It was a 4x4 cell consisting of a toilet and nothing else. I was all alone and I was broken. My children were with relatives and I had nothing except a Gideon's Bible. I opened up the Bible and I read Psalm 34, and it told me that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. It was then that I got on my knees and I surrendered and I prayed to the Lord and I said, please help me. After that night, my life has never been the same. He showed me again and again by moving me from high security to low security, then out of prison earlier than I was supposed to. I now, 3.5 years later, am completely drug-free, am safe. I have a beautiful job in a nursing home where I get to speak with the residents at the end of their life and ask them if they know Jesus. I bring the Bible to them and I tell them what Jesus did for me. I have all my children living with me. I have a beautiful home. And next year in January, I'm going back into the women's prison with prison fellowship to teach the other inmates about Jesus and about his healing power. Please don't ever underestimate what you are doing. Jesus said in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Well, I'm here tonight to say well done and thank you all. Thank you so much for what you do, for being Jesus' hands and feet in this dark world. Thank you for your faithfulness and your effort. May God bless you all. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. I think we can finish there and go home. I need to recoup myself now. What a powerful testimony. Yeah. Okay, that's what we do as Gideons. It's an honor to be a Gideon and to do this ministry. And when I was young, the only Bible that I had, English Bible, was a Gideon. And that's how I grew and that's how I learned memory verses. And so, thank you. Thanks for having us. Well, I'm Solomon Pata, and thank you so much, Pastor, and my friends, Kerry and Sally. Thank you so much. You've been wonderful. Such a humble person, such humility your pastors have. I think you don't understand, or sometimes we underestimate the leadership. When I met 3 years ago, Pastor Kerry, we were like, he was so jovial and we were like mates until he told me that he was a pastor. Like, we didn't know that he doesn't come there as a title, but he was there sweeping, he was there lifting up stuff, and what an honor. Can we give him a round of applause, and Sally as well? Wonderful people. I think you guys are in a great hands. And thank you so much. And thanks for the friendship. And thanks for giving me the honor. While I was praying at the back, I was reminded of this verse. This is not in my presentation. But this verse from 1 Chronicles 7:16. And when I'm reading this, we understand where I come from. You need to understand where I come from. I'm from India. I have a very humble beginning. And when I'm standing there inside and God reminded me this verse, he reminds me this verse over and over again when I'm in the boardrooms with a lot of rich people here in the city. And God reminded me this again when I was in that room. It's 1 Chronicles 17:16. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And this is a small thing in your eyes, O God. You have also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come and have shown me future generations. Just imagine that. I come from a very humble beginning. My dad is uneducated. My parents are uneducated. They didn't have much. We grew up in a small place, which is one room and one room and a small kitchen. Until I was 18 years old, we never complained of the things we didn't have, but we always thank God for what we had. I never felt the lack because. The theme for today is If My People. And I was telling Pastor Kerry about that I had to change my messages a couple of times. And when I'm in that room praying with the elders and the team there, I felt that is the word, because I see that you guys, your church is a church of prayer. And everyone praying earnestly for the service that is to come. What an amazing thing to see that the church is actually praying And my theme today is to pray. And how do we pray? And I don't have to make any statements, but I want to share my testimony. I want to share what God has done in our lives and how God has been using and how we can pray for our city, how we can pray for our next generation. Here it says it's future generations. And that's what God has shown David, and that's what he's showing us. And you could see Brother Ming here and his family, his next generation. And many of you don't know, but I know that when you invest into your next generations, one of the best things you could do is pray. Yeah, let me go back to my notes now, sir. I'm not a preacher, but God has opened this opportunity for us. So I have my wife, beautiful wife here in front, Roslyn. We've been married 25 years this year. And praise God for arranged marriages. I'll be like, yeah. So many of you, it's not a concept here in the Western world, but or some of the young people would have not even heard of arranged marriage. So arranged marriage is my parents go to their parents and decide that they do the background check. But before they go, but they thought that Rosalind was the best fit for me, and so we got married. I want to tell you that it was not all rosy, as her name says, Rosalind. But we had struggle, and at 21, we got married at 21. It was like almost like we were just coming out of our teens, and we didn't even know the world, but we've been married, and there were struggles in our marriage, and I had to move to the Middle East. I went to Middle East when I was 22, the first year of our marriage. Michael, my son, Michael was born by then, and it all happened very quickly the first year. And the child, Michael, I don't know whether if any one of you seen, but he's very active, and we've devoted him to the Lord, but he doesn't have patience, so he came out really early as well, and even before 9 months. So, and I think that continues on his life now. So everything he needs expedited. So everything in the ministry as well. Now he's actually leading young adults, and he's the director of music at our church, and he's been doing great. And that I want to tell you, I've come to the end part. We are not end yet, but the good part. But I want to go through our lives, what we have gone through, and how God has been in our lives, and what prayer has done for us. Yeah. And as I see a lot of young people here, and that's a great way. I think God has placed that. I actually prepared another message, but God changed it last minute yesterday. And last night I was sitting down, and in the morning I was sitting down and writing notes. And my wife is asking me, "Have you not prepared?" I said, "I have prepared, but God tells us to change it, and you need to change it." So, and I get always reminded of why David took 5 stones. You know, in case God said it's not the first one, mate, it's the fifth one. So he had something. So I had the another message prepared as well. So thank God for that. And so during our time in the Middle East, almost 7 years, it was such a hard thing for us to understand each other. No one counseled us. We never had a concept of counseling in India. If there's something wrong, your parents told you off, or your uncles or aunties told you off. And that's why we have very less divorce rate in India. So if you, and they're all 99% or 90%, let's say, I'm exaggerating, but 90% are arranged marriages. And we have the lowest number of divorces. Because there's so much family around, there's so much of prayer around. It's not just your parents praying for you, but it's also your extended family that prays for you if they see a problem. So there's a lot of prayers that were going on. I've been away, like, while growing up, as I told you, we grew up in a small family, small house. But every time I woke up at 4 o'clock or any time after 4 o'clock, I used to see my dad on his knees. Just imagine that. My dad, who's uneducated, but he knows the power of prayer. He didn't have money. We never complained about lack, because he knew that what God has placed him, wherever he placed him, it was a purpose. And now we see at the end, to the other side, when we reach the shores of Australia, that his prayers, their prayers, my parents' prayers, are the ones that brought us here. Yeah, and I encourage the young people, and I encourage the elderly ones as well. Continue to pray. Continue to believe in your next generation. Continue to sow into them, into their next generation. So, because they are the ones, we have a world now keeps talking about everything else but God. In our schools, as Brother Ming mentioned, we don't have opportunity to go into public schools anymore. But God has placed our church to rise up. Let's start building our own church, our own people, our next generation. Sow into them. Make some time to pray for them. Make some time to spend time with them and talk about God. We can talk about the world is becoming like this. We can talk about everything else. We can talk about sport. In Australia, we can talk about a lot of sport. But when it comes to God, we just shut things off. I'm so thankful for people like John Wesley sending people to India as missionaries. And because of that, my grandparents got changed. And my dad got changed, gave his life to God. And now I'm here. And I feel I'm here as a missionary now. That's all because it all started off by prayer. I used to see my grandma praying over and over again. I don't know, I have not seen the concept here, but we kneel and pray. There's power in kneeling and praying. You're surrendering everything to God. So my reading for today is Psalms 91, and I just want to read a couple of verses from there. So this will give us some context of where we are going. Shall we pray before that? Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this wonderful time that you've given us, Lord. What a wonderful time of worship. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for your Spirit-filled place in this house, Lord. Lord, we could feel that Spirit that is in this place, Lord, and I pray that many would be touched, and Lord, you would have spoken today, and that sweet, sweet sound that we just sang, that would resonate, that would keep ringing into people's ears, Lord, that sweet, sweet sound into their ears, and our prayer into your ears, Lord, that you hear our prayer, hear our cry, hear our nation, and we bring our nation in front of you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless this time. Put your words in my mouth as I speak. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And it says, it's Psalms 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Imagine that. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When does that verse 2 come? Is when you spend time under the shadow of the Almighty. That is the word. That is the secret. If you go on to read, continue to read Psalms 91, you've got so many blessings there, blessing after blessing, blessing after blessing. If you can just rely on that one chapter, going over and over again. But we want this end part, but we need to do the first part. We need to be dwelling in the shelter of the Almighty. What does dwelling mean for us? we dwell in a home. That means you go into that place of praying or surrender and thank you. And look, you go and saturate yourself. I would not leave this place until I'm saturated, until I receive something from you every single day. And seeing my dad, I actually developed that habit of praying at 4 o'clock in the morning. And that got me out of so many troubles. Praying 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm not suggesting this to pray in the morning, but that is my way of praying. But you need to spend so much time. And when the next verse, it says, when you seek him first, this is one of my favorite verses. When you seek God first, his kingdom first, and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. All the things that Psalms 91 talks about is being talked about in Matthew. It says, when you seek me first, when you seek God first, all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know about your prayer life, and I really don't want to know, but you need to have a time that you dedicate to God. And it needs to be seeking him first. It's not just about seeking him first in your day-to-day life, but it has to be in every way, like in seeking God first in your tithes, seeking God first in your time, when you allocate time to God, and you seek time to him, with him, of what next I need to do. If you're changing jobs, you need to seek God first. If you're going to a job, and what I need to do, Lord, today, what am I doing today? If you're going for a ministry work, what am I doing, Lord, today? What do I need to do? What is the word that I need to speak? When you seek him first, when you dwell in the shelter of the Almighty, then that's when his hand will be upon us. So, yeah, as I told you, we were in the Middle East, and I spent there. I thought that I would come to Australia easily, very easily. So we moved to Middle East for work, it was not that easy. It was like me going through the wilderness. Luckily, it was not 40 years, but it took me 9 years to actually get a visa. And the visa, I'm just rushing here with my story, but the visa didn't come easily. The reason to pick Australia was when I was 8 years old, some of the Aussies came to India as missionaries. And I've seen these people, how they conducted their lives, how they've worshipped, how they spoke, how they lived their lives, and the grace that was on their life. I was only 8 years old, and that got me to think that I need to be in Australia. I need to go to Australia. I need to live in Australia. And God placed that on my heart when I was very young. And I pursued that. And when in the Middle East, I was working and in logistics, and it was so comfortable at one stage I don't have to move. I had a penthouse, and the company provided every 3 years you get a new, brand new car. It's not the cars that we talk about here, the Toyotas, but the brand new, real good cars. I had comfort. We had maids in our house. We never cooked for 3 years because our maids cooked for us. We didn't look after our boys because the maid did everything. She dressed up the kids. We were in a very comfortable position, but my goal was to move to Australia. But I was in so much sin. I walked away from God because of the things that were in my past. I had a really bad baggage, and I was literally hanging on to that baggage. But thank God for a praying wife. Like Rosalind prayed a lot, and my parents prayed a lot for me that I would change. And God turned things around just like that. Like, I had enough of this life, and I had to change. There's more to life than what I'm doing. And I was in this bubble of luxury. I was in bubble of celebration. I was like a party animal, and I was being there, like celebrating everything and being. And you would not don't see the size and think that I'm mild, but I was like a gang leader at my workplace, and I was. We were ruling that place. In that time, I had this moment of change. This is not it. This is not what God has called me to do. Because I had a calling when I was young, and I know the calling, what God has placed on my heart. And that happened only because people were praying for me. People were praying that Solomon would turn back to God. And that's when I started praying again. I surrendered my life to Christ and said, Lord, this is not me. I need you back. And I started praying again. Now, Lord, I can't stay in that same place going and seeing the same people, because I was working for a company, and the place where I was with all doing all the bad things were surrounded with the same place. Every day I go to them, even with the changed mind or changed person, I have to be with them. So they're all making fun of me, mocking me. But still, I had to be there and started praying even more. I think the devil actually puts so much stuff in you that you go back to God and you pray, you saturate yourself in front of God. And we started praying as a family. Lord, we need the visa. It took us 3 years when we applied our visa. But all of a sudden, we got a letter saying, your visa has been rejected. Your medicals came back saying that you had tuberculosis and you cannot enter Australia because you had tuberculosis. It just crushed us. Like, what is this? And I called my parents, did I have tuberculosis before? And they said, no, you never had anything like that. And like, we've been praying, Lord, what do we do? We paid so much of money. It's $16,000 or between $16,000 and $20,000 at the time, 14 years ago. And that was a lot of money for us. We invested in this, and everything is gone. If you don't get a visa, the money is gone. And that's when, again, we went back as a family. And you should see how my children prayed, because they knew that we had that best life in Australia. And we were praying, and suddenly this thought came to challenge that the rejection. And I went back to our agent and said, can you go back and challenge this? Because I've never had tuberculosis. And when we challenged and when we wrote to the embassy, Australian embassy, okay, they said, we'll give you another opportunity. Go and see the specialist. And if that specialist says that it's going to be it's false, and then we will consider. So, and going to that specialist was a very expensive one, and this is an American hospital. We had to go and show. As soon as he saw my X-ray, he said, "Did you have chicken pox?" And I said, "Yeah. I had chicken pox, you could see on my nose. When I was 9 months old, I had chicken pox so much that whole of my body, and it seems chicken pox inside the lungs. We've never heard of this. Inside the lungs, there was chicken pox. And when I got healed, it left marks like how it left marks on my nose. So those were the spots. And that's when I went inside, literally my wife and my children were outside the doctor's office, kneeling down and praying. They were praying, Lord, we need this visa. We need to move. And when I just came out, we were just hugging and just praising God for that report. What an amazing God we serve, yeah? Well, he's good, and he's always good. And when you think, when the enemy wants to push you, prayers, when we pray together, when you pray with two or three, when you pray yourself, when you saturate yourself, he will never let us down. And he would never do the same thing over and over again. He does. He's a miraculous God. How do we know it's a miracle? How do you surprise yourself if you keep getting the same thing? Because he might work in a different way for you. You don't have to pray that this person received a miracle this way and this person received a blessing this way and I need the same. No, God will work differently because that's where the surprise is. If your husband or your wife gives you the same present over again, over and over again, and you know that she's going to get you that, it's not a surprise, you know, yeah. That's those boring flowers. No, not really, but change it up, you know, change the color. Yeah. I had to learn, I'm an Indian, and I had to learn a lot about honoring my wife. Now, because Indians, we have this attitude of manship. I had to humble myself and change, and learn a lot. And I even learned cooking. The best part, I want to tell you this, I just want to take a break from the message. The best part was I never cooked for until I was in Australia. I don't know how to cook. So the first year when we were in Australia, 2009, they've asked me to go to Red Frogs. And they said that you're the cook. I'm like, what? I don't know how to cook. No, it'll be all right. And not imagine that how I was on the phone to Rosalind. She didn't come. So I was the one. I was at Rottnest Island, and I had to cook for 30 people. I couldn't cook for 4 people in the house. Now I have to cook for 40 people, 30 people. And I was on the phone, how do I cook rice? So she's telling me, like, now you need to wash this much and you need to put this much of water. And I'm like, oh, like, thank God for those moments. Thank God for Red Frogs. And thank God for the serving. I put my hand up anyway. So the thing is, you need to be totally available and radically obedient to God's call. Going on, fast forward, I actually have a catering company now. I cook. God is amazing, yeah? Yeah, I actually cook for 300 people many times. Now, that's a good start. And if you are wanting to start somewhere to serve, please see Pastor Kerry to serve in Red Frogs. We've got great places and great opportunities there. Yeah. So yeah, I just thought I'll just spice it up there as Indians. Yeah. So it's not simple. What do you pray? How do you pray? Don't pray simple prayers. Don't pray that God bless me. And don't pray, Lord, do this and Go to a room. Go yourself. Separate from the worldly distractions. Take away these phones and everything away. Take away the noise of this world and go into a room. Sit and then seek God. And as the word says, that he will give you words to pray. Yeah? And so many times I got so saturated at 4 o'clock in the morning. It might be a bit spooky for a few people, but I once saw the Holy Spirit just standing right in front of me. I was so saturated in the Word. I was so saturated. He was standing right in front of me. Like this, and I can still remember that. The reason I'm sharing this is when you go and God does amazing things, he will show you things that no one else knows. He reveals mysteries when you take away yourself from the worldly distractions. He was there in front of me, and at that time I only needed a hug. And I said, I need to hug you. Oh, what an amazing time. What an amazing thing that was. And a revelation came out of that. And that night when we were about to retire to bed, and we came in 2008 to Australia, thinking that we will not go back to India for at least 6 or 7 years, because we sold everything, we gave away everything, and we wanted to come to Australia slate clean. We are not testing God, but we didn't want anything of what the Middle East gave us. We had a land in India, I sold that, and we came with 6 bags and $6,000. We were about to fly tomorrow. For example, tonight, God spoke to us saying, you're not going to Sydney, because we booked us tickets to Sydney because we have a lot of friends, and they said you could stay with us for 3 months. But God said, now change your tickets to Perth. The only place I know Perth is Wacker. Because I'm a cricket fan and I play cricket. And that's the only thing I know about Western Australia. And no one else. And that night, changed my tickets and looking for hotels. In 2008, the boom was so high, there was no hotels available. And that too in the last minute, because it's in one day, in 24 hours, we'll arrive in Perth. Nothing was there. And I don't know anything about backpackers. I never heard of a word backpackers. And I found this backpackers family room. I booked it. Like, wow, I got it. $150 a day. Brilliant. Booked it. As soon as I came, looking at the place, it was on Beaufort Street, and backpackers, and the noise was like, oh, are we in India? Like, it was till 3 o'clock in the morning, the sound, there was a lot of noise. And I didn't know. And next day, we were walking down Beaufort Street. That's the only a family room that whole entire backpacker had, Billabong backpackers. It had an attached bathroom. That's the only room that had an attached bathroom. The rest, everything you guys know about backpacking, because we didn't know at the time. But God provides, you see. Even in that moment, God provided. God provided security. God provided safety for us. And we were walking down Beaufort Street. I asked them, where's the city towards? Because I could see those buildings. And they said, yeah, walk straight. And when we were walking, we looked at this church, Metro Church. And we went there, saw the signs, saw the notices outside. Okay, this was on Wednesday. They said, we felt God saying that that's the place to go. First day we go to the church, and everyone came, received us so well. And everyone was surprised, like, where are you staying? And I said, this is the backpackers just down the road. And they were all surprised that we ended up in backpackers. But thank God for that backpackers opening up a door there. So 3 weeks we are coming into this church, 3 Sundays. Everyone very friendly. They took us to the connect groups and all that stuff. And I'm still paying $150 per day. How much did I bring my money? $6,000. It's going. That was only for the rent. That was only for the hotel. We hired a car. And not once I ever had this distress that the money was going through. But after 3 weeks, you would feel it, yeah, when you're seeing that it's not coming. So when we actually landed, one of the guys took us bags and everything. We had to take 2 cars because of the luggage. And this guy, I still remember his name after 14 years, Peter, the driver from the taxi guy, he said, and he's a Macedonian driver. He said, bro, don't ever show your emotions to your family. If you don't find a job, I hear you're migrated here, don't show your emotions to your family. Keep them always happy. What a best advice I've got. I think he was an angel speaking to me at the time. And never did I show my emotions to my family. I used to go searching for jobs, searching for homes. Never. I used to wait for 25, like there were 25, 30 people standing. It was same like now, the rental position, then in 2008, and we couldn't get, and I don't have a history. No one was giving us house. And we came with six or eight bags, and the bank was getting emptied. And in 3 weeks' time, one of the ladies from our church, she came up to me and she came up and said, "Solomon, I hear you didn't get a house yet. Do you feel like we've got a house? Do you want to come and check it out?" And she said, "We said, yeah, definitely. But it's a very old house, like very, very old house. Even the toilet was outside, so you could imagine." I said, "Yeah, no problem. Let's go and see." And this was really a very old house. We went in, we saw, and I asked her how much. It's a 4x1, we said, she said, "We're gonna do the carpets and everything." So it was $250 per week. I said, "No, I'm taking it." And we took that. She gave us the NMT house on that day. On that evening, the 1st of July 2008, we had a knock on the door. We were just sitting with eight bags. We moved on the 1st of July 2008. I clearly remember we were sitting in a house, empty house, with those eight bags. We get a knock on the door, and I was like, who would have been? And we thought it was neighbors. One of the ladies from church, she said, "Hey, Solomon, come out." And we went in, went out. You'd not believe, she bought a huge trailer load of entire household stuff. Can we give God all the glory? When you listen to his call, when you listen to his, like I'm talking about entire things, like even tea towels. We used that stuff for 6 years in that house. Yeah, we managed with one toilet, but that's, no one knows that. But God is amazing. We've done so many things in that house that we would never believe that we've done. We had so many people stay over, students stay over in that house. We had so many distraughted families stay over in that house, in that one family. We had so many missionaries stay over in that house. Reason I'm telling you, I'm not trying to boast myself, it's God who's done it, because he's the one who opens doors when we don't know, and he would not work the same way as he did for me, but you need to believe. I think I'm running out of time. The reason I'm going to share the next one, next verse, is, and this is one of my favorite again. You know, in Australia, we've been praying a lot for Australia. And some of our leaders have actually told us that God has brought you on a purpose. And this word came to my mind. And can we slip to the next one, please? I'll just read one verse. 2 Chronicles 7:14. A lot of people know that. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and seek my face, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Just let it sink, that verse. It says, if my people, you know, just for the minority, for the minority, he's going to bless the majority. If my people, that means you and I, if we start praying, if we humble ourselves on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our state, on behalf of the leaders that are doing so many things, if we humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness and seek his face, he's going to come and heal our land, hear our prayer from heaven, and he will heal our land and forgive our sins. I want to leave you guys with that thought, that he's the one we need for Australia. And the best thing that happened to us is coming to Australia after knowing Jesus as my personal savior, but and also after marrying Rosalind. But the reason I'm telling you, he's brought us together. I don't know if I ask in this audience how many people were born in Australia, in Perth. Can we raise hands? How many people born in Perth? Oh man. Just look around. Can you keep the hands up? People born in Perth. People not born here. Now look around, please. We are all missionaries. We are all called here on a purpose. If my people, that is you and I who are here, are called by his name, humble themselves. Let's pray. Let's go and God, like when you are under the shadow of the Almighty, he will give you what to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our next generation. We need to seek for our next generation. And I'm so proud to say, I don't want to take anything away, but as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. And I want to do that. And I pray, that is one of my prayers, not having wealth, not having titles, but I want to, our prayer, my wife's and my prayer is that we always abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thank you very much.